ourselves dead to it once and for all. See, we don't consider ourselves dead to it. It's still playing with our hearts, tempting us. Did God really say, oh, this is just a little sin. You're under grace. You're okay. It's not a big deal. Oh, but I like doing this. It feels so good. You see what I'm saying? So you got to consider yourself dead to it, or you cannot get the fullness of God's power and grace working in your life without doing that. God condemned sin in the flesh, subdued, overcame, deprived it of its power over all who accept that sacrifice. This has already been done, but we have to implement. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. The goal of your faith is the salvation of your soul. That's what faith is all about. Faith to say, this is what has happened. I have the victory already. Okay, sin, that's the end of you in my life. I'm going to consider myself dead to you. I have no more desire for you, and you cannot tempt me anymore. And you stand on that, and you continue to stand on that, and you keep telling yourself that until you believe it in your heart, and it starts working in your life. So that the righteous and the just requirement of the law might be fully met in us who live and move not in the ways of the flesh, but in the ways of the Spirit. Our lives governed not by the standards and according to the dictates of the flesh, but controlled by the Holy Spirit. So now, because I have the new birth, and I have the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and He helps me to pray when I don't know how to pray, and I keep praying in tongues to edify myself, build myself up, spend time in the Word. The Word works in my heart. I desire to fill the Word by the Spirit. All of that keeps working. Now sin cannot work in me. See, I'm implementing that death sentence in my life. But if I don't think right, oh well, someday I'll go to heaven. I'm saved. You're saved. God is love. Everything's fine. I'm going to rule and reign with Jesus. Not if you don't overcome. For those who are according to the flesh and are controlled by its unholy desires set their minds on and pursue those things which gratify the flesh. But those who according to the Spirit are controlled by the desires of the Spirit set their minds on and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. Now it comes down to spiritual authority. Who are you going to allow? See, you're either submitting to God or you're submitting to the evil. So who's in charge of your life, God or the devil? Well, I am. No, you're not. When you say that, it's already the devil. Because he said, I will. There's only two spiritual kingdoms. There's not three. There's no third kingdom called the kingdom of man. You're influenced by one or the other. And I is being influenced by that negative kingdom. So we got to die to who? Ourselves. If you want life, Jesus said die. Lay down your life and you will gain it. See, you got to die to the sinful nature, but you also got to die to the evil that's in your heart and overcome it with love. I was crucified with Christ and I no longer lives. I no longer live. The life that I live now, I live by faith in the Son of Man who died for me. So who's your enemy? Look in the mirror.
Me.
Sometimes you have to teach it this way to sink in. I know I got to teach it to myself this way to sink in. I'm the problem. Can't blame my wife. I'm the problem. She can't blame me. She's the problem. Can't blame you guys. I'm the problem. Did the Pharisees upset Jesus that he wanted to give up? Nothing. Got Jesus off course.
Amazing. Praise God.
Nothing. Wow. Now, the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit. Sense and reason without the Holy Spirit is death. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. That's what it says in the Amplified. And I've taught that. It's not just for this life now. It's for eternity. So you're not working hard just to be a good, nice person now. Your eternal reward, your eternal destiny depends on you working this into your life. See how this is the very foundational principle of Christianity? But he hurt me. Well, then forgive him. Walk in the Spirit. Well, I'm mad. Well, repent. Shut up, self. You're dead. Bible says, do not take offense. Yeah, but he hurt me. Well, don't take offense. Yeah, but he hurt me. Shut up. Do not take offense. Anybody have an argument with themselves other than me? I mean, it's like you got to go look in the mirror. Shut up and do not take offense, dummy. You're the enemy. Today, you're going to believe the word of God, and you're going to live it today. You understand? Okay, sir. I mean, if you need to talk to yourself that way, then do that. But it's all built on this principle. That's why we do it. This is why we confess the word of God, to build up faith. This is why we encourage and strengthen one another. But we have to get determined in our own heart. The mind of the Holy Spirit is life and soul. The Holy Spirit is death. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and soul peace, both now and forever. But if we don't work this into our life now and work out our salvation, you think we're all just going to be the same in heaven? See, this is what I've always said. To the degree we work out our salvation, we'll have a direct relationship on the glorification of our body. The Bible says that some will look like they'll be saved, but they'll look like they've run through the fire. They're all burned and charred. And people will be able to see forever, just by looking at us, how we lived our life. There'll be love, it'll be nice, it'll be peaceful, but see, you won't have, those who overcome, we get to rule and reign. You get to be closer to Jesus. You get to live in that presence of that love, of the magnitude of the beauty of God forever. You got to remember that heaven is coming here. Jesus is going to rule on this earth. And after 1,000 years, the devil's going to be released. And again, they're going to come against him at Jerusalem. And God's going to send down fire from heaven. And then that's the end, be the end. But even when they have seen Jesus as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings and everything that he's done, they're still going to turn against him. But we're not, because we will have our glorified bodies. We will not have the sinful nature anymore. We'll be able to go in and out of the holy city anytime we want. We'll be able to get into the presence of God anytime we want. We'll have the presence of God wherever we are. You see the difference? Like, and all we got to do is tell that clown in the mirror to shut up and live for Jesus. Am I teaching good now? Let's look at 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. And then we'll come back here. And because we're in this world, see, this is where meditation comes in and teaching. Because if you're just in the world all week and you have an hour of teaching on Sunday, you can't get this in your heart to the degree that you need it. You can't think this way because you're out in the world. 1 hour a week in the Word doesn't do it. You got to spend time in the Word every day. You got to get this in your heart. You got to really think it through and set your mind and set your heart and repeat it. You know, like this is a foundational lesson all through Romans here. Understand that inside out. Go through it. Go over it. Get it in your heart. Understand exactly how it works and then apply it in your life. You have right standing. If I sin, my heart convicts me or condemns me. Repent. Ask forgiveness from whoever you have to. Make things right. Ask forgiveness from God. Get back under grace. And keep a sensitive conscience. And then tell yourself, die! You no longer live. I'm a new creation. A new identity. A new father. New everything. A new kingdom. New principles. New rules to live by. Where'd I take you? 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8. But refuse and avoid irreverent legends, profane and impure and godless fictions, mere grandmother tales, and silly myths. See, there's no room here for nonsense. This is the way it is. And express your disapproval of them. Train yourself toward godliness. Train yourself. Who's got to train you? You do. The only way you're going to train yourself is to think this way and start implementing it in your life every single day. I've had to do that since I got saved. Keeping yourself spiritually fit. Spiritually fit. For physical training is of some value, useful for a little. But godliness, spiritual training, is useful and of value in everything and in every way, for it holds promise for the present life and also for the life that is to come. This is a reliable and worthy saying of complete acceptance by everybody. You know, we get concerned about things in this life and the world and this and that. In the end, it's all going to disappear. And the only thing that's going to left is, what did we do for Jesus? How did we live for him? And that's going to stand for eternity. But if we don't work it out now, we won't have it for eternity. I can't explain to you that you can understand, or I can even understand how wonderful and beautiful it is. And we got to do this all by faith. But this is what God has always said. And when he makes his treasured possession his, then we will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked. Because now you see the wicked prosper. Why? Because they work the world system. Kill, rob, steal, whatever they have to get ahead. They're living better than we are. Mm-hmm. But in the end, this is what's going to count. Yeah. Wow. It's powerful stuff. That is because the mind, I'm back in Romans chapter 8, verse 7. That is because the mind of the flesh with its carnal thoughts and purposes is hostile to God. Is hostile to God. We all love Jesus, right? So all those negative thoughts are hostile to God. Don't entertain them. You are dead to them. That sinful nature is hostile to God. It is the enemy of God. We were enemies of God because we were controlled by that sinful nature until we accepted Jesus. Whenever I do seminars, heart seminars especially, I'll ask a question. Does everybody love Jesus? Everybody puts up their hand. Now I get teaching for a while, and they get seeing their own heart. Now, how much do you love him? How much are you willing to die to that nonsense and that garbage? How much are you willing to clean yourself up by the help of the Holy Spirit? How much are you willing to do it the proper way? Now you know how much you love Jesus. Now how much you want to love him. Jesus said to the apostles, who's going to love me more? He's been forgiven much or he who's been forgiven little? He's who's been forgiven much. Because they're much more grateful for being set free. With his carnal thoughts and purposes, is hostile to God, for it does not submit itself to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. The mind controlled by this sin principle or by the flesh. Ted, can I have a picture up here, please? The mind that is controlled by the sinful nature does not submit itself to God's law. And now if I walk in the Spirit, I fulfill the law. But if I don't fulfill the law, if I don't understand how this works, then the law is there, and the sinful nature is always antagonizing, and I'm not feeling worthy. See, and I get under law and legalism, even though I've been set free. That just breaks my heart when I travel and teach on righteousness by faith, and these people, like they're 60, 70, 80 years old, and they start crying because they really do love God, and they've been bound up because they were never taught about righteousness by faith and how it's supposed to work in their lives. It is just amazing. And every church I've been in, all over the world, it's been a lot of law and legalism. And then you have ones that are all grace and no character. So then those who are living the life of the flesh, catering to the appetites and impulses of their carnal nature, cannot please or satisfy God or be acceptable to him. So the flesh, you will reap corruption, you will not be an overcomer, and you will not rule and reign with Jesus. You will not be close to God in eternity because you couldn't be bothered to get close to him now, even though he died and gave you his life. But all the problems in the heart, because as we said, the heart is the subconscious mind. So we have our mind, we have our subconscious mind, which a lot of people don't understand. Then beyond that is our born-again spirit. And the way we've been trained in our subconscious mind and everything that's in there is stored up in there, everything that's ever happened to us. And it's just automatically reacting to life. And so we got to understand the Word of God, and we have to understand this, and we have to force ourselves to live it. If we're going to change our heart, change our subconscious mind, which is really what's controlling us. So people go to psychiatrists, and psychiatrists can't help them. I think psychiatrists, because there are one of the higher rates of suicide also, but because they're always dealing with demons and they can't win. And those demons get on them. They don't cover themselves with the blood of Jesus. But you are not living the life of the flesh. You are living the life of the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit of God really dwells within you, directs and controls you, but if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he is none of his, he does not belong to Christ, is not truly a child of God. But if Christ lives in you, then although your natural body is dead by reason of sin and guilt, the Spirit is alive because of the righteousness that he imputes to you. We were quickened, made alive when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I've always been very aggressive with work, farming, life, everything. But I was very aggressive that I carried that attitude into the realm of the Spirit also. And once I saw what truth was, I wanted to live it. But when I didn't see it before I got saved, I just lived my life the way I wanted. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and violent men lay hold of it. I was a violent man, but I took that violent attitude and applied it to my spiritual life. I said, no, I am going to get the victory because it's already guaranteed. I'm just trying to instill some faith and positive attitude and hope. And it took me a while to grow out of it. And while I was growing out of it, and I'm still not completely out of it, but as I was growing out of it, I was hard on myself. I said, come on, Hank, you can do better than this. What the heck's the matter with you? Get your act together. Grow up. But if anybody else said it to me, I'd be ticked off probably, but I could beat myself up pretty good. But it pushed me on. It pushed me harder to live for Jesus. Like, it's not a passive thing being a Christian. It's a battle. It's spiritual warfare every day, every minute of every day. Some people think it's spiritual. Oh, I'm going to take authority over these demons in the air or principalities and powers where you don't have authority over anyways. But the battle is every day in our heart. The battle is for our soul. And that's what's so going to be so vastly intensified and increased in the last days. And Satan and all his demonic hosts are cast down the earth, and the kingdom of God is released in full force. Wow, it's going to be a zoo. And that's what we're doing on Sunday nights, getting people ready for that. And if we are his children, then we are his heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his inheritance with him. Only we must share his sufferings. Oh, that's the part nobody likes. If we are to share his glory. No pain, no gain. Oh, I'm so happy. Jesus loves me so much. What about when you're suffering? Do you love him then? See, we love him when he's doing nice things for us, but what about when he's disciplining us? Do we love him then? Why is this happening to me? Because God loves you, and he wants you to grow up. But what about that? Well, I consider the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared with the glory that's about to be revealed to us and in us and for and conferred on us. See, you have to have that heavenly hope of your glorified body and being with Jesus. That's the only thing that keeps us going, because the flesh say, oh, what's the use? Oh, I can't do this. Why? I'm good enough. I'm not robbing any banks. I'm not molesting any children. I'm okay. I'm going to heaven. Well, you're not going to have rule and reign with Jesus, and you're not going to have his glory conferred upon you. And even the whole creation, all nature, everything that's below man, animals, creation, trees, everything, waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons to be made known, waits for the revealing, the disclosing of their sonship. That's when we receive our glorified bodies. And Jesus comes back to rule and reign, and the curse is taken off the earth. And the lion lays down with the lamb. All of creation has been messed up because a curse was put on the earth when Adam sinned. And that's all going to be lifted. So all of creation is waiting for us to receive our glorified bodies. so that everyone and everything will know we are the true sons of God. Wow. For the creation was subjected to frailty, futility, condemned to frustration, not because of some intentional fault on its part, but by the will of him who subjected it. Yet with hope, the nature creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and corruption and gain an entrance into the glorious freedom of God's children. See, it's our life fulfilling God's plan and the full manifestation of God's life in us. Our glorified bodies will bring the kingdom of heaven down to this earth. And God's got a plan, and it has to be fulfilled. When I read all this, I realize what we're doing on Sunday nights is so, so vital to our area. Because people just don't think like this. They don't get taught this in churches. In a lot of churches. I'm not saying all churches, but many churches. We know that the whole creation of irrational creatures has been moaning together in the pains of labor until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves too, who have and enjoy the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, a foretaste of the blissful things to come, grown inwardly as we wait for the redemption of our bodies, for sensuality and the grave, which will reveal our adoption, our manifestation as God's sons. Don't you just wish that this sinful nature was gone? We wouldn't have to keep fighting this battle. And we'd be in God's love and his presence. And we could have it just right here. Oh, God, do this. Oh, God, do this. See, we're all crying out for this too. Because we want to be set free. We want not have to do this battle anymore. We're tired of fighting sometimes. Wow. See, but that's all going to happen when we get the resurrection of our body and that sinful nature is destroyed. For in this hope we were saved. But hope, the object of which is seen, is not hope. For how can one hope for what he has already sees? Better end there, it's getting a little late. But this is the hope that we will be fully in the presence of God with a glorified body. But to the degree that is fulfilled for each one of us depends on how we live our life here and now and implement this teaching. See, Jesus has done it all. We cry for so much. Oh, God, do this. Oh, God, do that. Oh, God, do this. And God says, I did it 2,000 years ago. Seek first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, and then I can bless the socks off you. But if I bless you and you're not living right, how's that going to work? Do you do that with your kids? Can't do it with mine either, he says. He disciplines us as a father who loves us. And every trial, take it as discipline so that we can become more like Jesus through that trial. This is foundational teaching of Christianity. And if we don't think that way, then, yeah, I understand that's truth, Pastor Hank, but yeah, I'll try. What do you mean try? You can't try this. It's already done. You do it. But that's the mentality of people. Well, I'll try. I'll see how I feel. I'll try Jesus for a little while. And Jesus said, well, you just keep living the way you are until you're desperate and really want me. That's what happens. Because he will bring us to the end of ourselves because he wants all of us. He just doesn't want that part of us that wants to be pleased. He wants to clean up the rest that is ornery and miserable. He wants its own way. That's part of us too. And that's the part he wants to clean up. Father, we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, that you would continue to remind us of these things, especially when we get wailing and complaining and belly aching. Holy Spirit, just remind us that you are in us that Christ is in us, that the very nature of our fatherness is in us, that we are a new creation, that we are in a new kingdom, and we have to learn how to live in that kingdom if we want to overcome the results of the worldly kingdom. So Father, again today, we pledge our life with a pure conscience to serve you. We give you all the praise and honor and glory for all that you've accomplished in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Some people say we should have communion every day. I think maybe we should get back to being water baptized every day for a while until we actually get this. I gotta be baptized again.